Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the All Independent Renal Podcast. My name's Dave. Thanks again for listening. This next episode, I got to sit down and chat with Tim Wehner of 7th Street Station. And he has live shows at his house called the 7th Street Station here in Reno. He's got a show coming up at the end of this month with David Bazan. He's from Pedro the Lion. He's doing a solo acoustic show. He's been playing all over the country, selling out all those shows. And be sure to check this one out. And you can also keep up to date with all the shows that we'll be playing at Tim's house, the 7th Street Station, if you go to his Facebook page. So be sure to like that and check out future shows coming up, as well as the one I just mentioned. And right now we'll get into the next episode, so I hope you all enjoy. All right, so we got Tim here in the garage. Thank you very much for coming, Tim, with 7th Street Station. Thank you again for coming down here and having a conversation with me. I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, how did you get into doing house shows in the first place?
Definitely a love of live music. I spent a lot of time doing transportation down to the Bay Area and Sacramento to see bands I liked. Sometimes by myself, sometimes with friends, and kept thinking, you know, Reno could be a viable spot. Just based on its location, proximity to Portland and Salt Lake, so
Bands touring through town and stuff
Yeah, definitely. Just stuff that seemed to always pass through Reno but not stop. And I'd read an article, too, about how house shows were kind of taken off and musicians were using them to kind of circumvent clubs. And I figured, well, you know, I got a decent-sized house and some friends who like music, so if we can pool our resources, we can kind of self-fund the bands to come here and just kind of have our own show, and I'll take the lead on the venue.
Nice. Did you grow up here? I think I read an article that you moved here from Santa Cruz, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Santa Cruz, moved up here for school, and have pretty much lived here since 92.
Okay, yeah. Cool. How was it growing up in Santa Cruz? Like, what kind of what kind of bands did you see there? Did you go to, like, house shows there? And
Most of my music influence was just from listening to my dad's records, you know, being into Motown and some of the classic rock stuff. To be honest, Santa Cruz, at least where I was set up, didn't really have a great music scene. There was the Catalyst there, but you had to be over 21, so...
Oh, yeah, I've been to the Catalyst.
Yeah, so I really started going to a lot of music. Ironically, once I moved out of California up to Reno and met up with a group of like-minded music fans, and we just started going. First shows I remember seeing were like Primus.
Nice.
Yeah, I saw Primus a bunch when I was younger. And you know, just after that is when I really caught the live music bug. But when I was growing up, it was more just starting to appreciate music from stuff that my dad and my brother, I remember my brother gave me Paul's Boutique. That was just a big album for me from the standpoint of it was rap, but it was something different, and it just kind of opened me up to, you know, checking out other music.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and there was a huge surf music scene down there when you were growing up, too, in Santa Cruz?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, being by the beach, there's going to be that kind of scene. But, yeah, I mean, the Catalyst had a good scene there, and there were certainly other clubs there, but you know, it's a beach town, so to be honest, I think Reno might have had a more like ferocious punk scene in terms of like that kind of music, whereas Santa Cruz,
definitely,
you know, at the boardwalk they'd have a lot of the mamas and the papas and stuff like that, so it was a challenge to find good music to listen to down there. But I mean, Santa Cruz as a whole definitely has that reputation. I just never really saw it much.
Yeah, like the surf, the hippie bands.
Yeah, if you like the Grateful Dead, you can be very happy in Santa Cruz. You'll be amongst like-minded people.
You know, I've never been a huge fan of the Grateful Dead. I've gotten into it here and there, but
my attention span's too short. I like the, you know, 3-minute rock and roll song. If you write a song over 5 minutes that I like, you've made the list, you know.
Yeah, the fish heads out there. I'm not dogging fish or anything like that. I like fish, but you know,
it's you know, different strokes for different folks. I'm trying, you know, as I become older and older, I try and be more, you know, I used to be like, oh, if you don't like such and such band, you know, whatever. And now I'm like, it's not that I don't care. It's just like that I like so much music that I like that if other people want to do their thing, it's not really worth, you know, jumping on it. Yeah. Unless they're treading on me, man.
Exactly. Don't tread on me. Well, did you grow up playing any instruments or were you in a band?
No, musical background, which may have been a big reason why, you know, for as much as I love music, I wanted to contribute somehow.
Yeah.
You know, my family has a lot of artistic talent in it, but music is I'm just thinking in my head on both sides of my family. I don't think anyone played an instrument or anything. So, yeah, it's different.
But they were like artists? Or
Yeah. My dad is a photographer, does some really amazing stuff. My mom paints. My brother paints.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, I mean, my contribution to the arts is to kind of do these community shows. And if nothing else, you're introducing a great band to people that are really a receptive audience. So,
yeah,
I love doing that.
Yeah, somebody that nobody's ever heard before. Well, the first show that I saw at your house was, I think it was back in November, Alec Owensworth of Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah. And that was a solo show, which was really cool, just seeing him live. Sitting there in your living room, I was sitting like right next to him with all of his notes and everything. It was a very intimate setting. How do you do that? Get somebody like Alec Owensworth and you know other people that have played at your house, you know Deer Tick and The Wigs and Dawes. I mean these are big names.
Yeah, no, it's been more than I imagined. Just from the standpoint of having people really make this place a destination after you've established it. I mean, it starts at the beginning, right? When you get a few good shows, and musicians talk too. So, I mean, to some degree, you get good reputations. They like the venue. It's different than playing clubs every night. And I definitely credit the folks who show up from that standpoint of being really receptive to the show. Sometimes, you know, like the show you were at, no amplification, just him and his guitar, and you could hear everything. No one was talking or anything. I mean, that's something.
Yeah, everybody was respectful. Yeah, and that's quiet. How,
I mean, I can vouch for all the, you know, the softer shows really being that way. So I think that is a good way to help build those shows being, you know, something to work with, is that you've got a great audience, and I hate to simplify it, but money talks to some degree too, right? I mean,
sure.
If you're able to give a comparable guarantee to a venue, and raise it through maybe higher prices to your friends that come over just to make the numbers work, they'll come and play. So
you make sure that the bands are like, well, you know, they're coming there not just to like get their name out and play
a
show.
No, I mean it's
not just for the money for them, but they're also like, you know, they need help too because they're artists and they need to get paid just like everybody
Definitely.
Else does, of course.
I mean, with like I mentioned before, with Reno being sort of a stopping, it's like it's hard to go from Salt Lake City to San Francisco. That's a couple days probably.
Yeah.
To where if you can stop over in Reno and make, you know, 500, 600, whatever, you know, that's a great way to subsist as you go to the bigger cities and you make, you play to bigger audiences and make more money, but you still have to have money to go through there. So it's definitely, you know, with the house show stuff, you start with a few booking agents, and if the shows go well, they start bringing bands back. Like with Dawes, we had them, and that show went well. So the booking agent was like, "Hey, I've got this band, Deer Tick. Do you want to do something with them?" With Alex's show, he works through Undertow Records, who I've done a bunch of shows with, and they actually are a booking company that only books house tours. So I've done a handful of shows with them. I think I've done like 10 shows now, but he knows that when he's routing his musicians that he can count on Reno, because our group has been able to make these shows viable. I mean, we get 35 people at least, and they're thrilled to sell out Reno. I don't think it's something that they have as, you know, a must. This is going to be a place that's going to kill it, but we always do. And that's the thing, is like, I have
they to, always sell out.
Yeah. And I mean,
and sell some merch too, because when I was over there, we bought some records, and you know, they're selling T-shirts and everything in between.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, it's just like a venue where there's a merch booth, basically. It just happens to be my kitchen table.
That's awesome. And it's very comfortable to see a show and very intimate, because when you go to a venue, you don't really get that. Like, a lot of bands don't necessarily, like, hang out after they're done playing. Like with the last show I saw was Susto and Future Birds, mm-hmm. and Future Birds just played on KEXP recently, which is, you know, that's a huge thing, mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. They're playing at, you know, a big festival there at
Pickathon.
Yeah. Yeah, up in Oregon with, you know, a bunch of huge mm-hmm. bands, too. And they were all really cool guys.
Very much so.
Yeah. So, and Alec Owensworth, very cool as mm-hmm. well. And, you know, it's just, it's fun to be able to, like, meet your favorite band that's playing there. Do you just, how do you pick the bands besides the word of mouth? Do you reach out to people and say, hey, can you play a show at my house?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, if I'm going to ask people to come over and do these shows, it always has to be bands I vouch for. So it's got to be someone, it's not a matter of just picking stuff off the street.
Sure.
So when you find somebody that has that opportunity to play here, you just go through the booking agent. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about the web is you can find their tour dates. You can see if there's gaps. The contact information is right there. And I don't have, that's the beauty of doing the house show stuff is I don't have any overhead. So all I do is right. just say, you know, I'd like, if you want to play a show, I can offer this much money on this date. And if they take it, that's fantastic because I get a great band at my house and I can start bringing people in. And if they don't, then no harm, no foul. I get it. Bands, you know, they have different routing, different interests in how many shows they want to do. So I never right. take it personally if the money's not there or the band doesn't want to do it. But it doesn't hurt to ask.
Yeah, exactly. You can always contact a band through their booking mm-hmm. site, which is on their website, or through their label's website or something like that. But man, but Deer Tick. Man, I wish I could have seen that show. Yeah. How long ago was that?
That was 2009. It was actually only about a week after Dawes.
Oh, wow.
They were touring together at the time, but had split off to do some separate shows. And Deer Tick was supposed to play a backyard show. And they broke down in Auburn and called and kind of said, you know, oh, we can't make it, you know. We're broken down. And then, so I'm like, shit, that sucks. Yeah. So I called everyone, said cancel. Sorry. And then they called back like an hour later and said, you know, we decided we're going to make it work. You know, we fixed our van. And is the show still on? I'm like, well, I can, you know, try and put something together. So I just decided to do it in my living room. And, you know, I ended up getting a full room. I think there was almost 30 people there. And that was after I'd kind of told everyone to, you know, find other plans. And then they ended up doing just like an acoustic solo show. It was amplified and everything, but there was there's a video of it on YouTube someone took of Smith Hill, which is really cool. But yeah, I mean, I still have people, that was 7 years ago, people still come up to me and says, dude, I can't believe I saw Deer Tick. And I'm like, I hear you. I mean, I had liked them at the time, yeah. but like they're like not a headliner, but you know, they're at Lollapalooza and all these festivals and people know them. And like,
yeah, I saw them at the Knitting Factory a couple of years ago when they came to town.
And that was like 500 or 600 people. So yeah, I mean, the house show stuff is great in the sense that you're in some cases you're seeing bands that maybe at the time aren't huge, but they're going to get to the point where they aren't playing in front of hundreds of people, and you're in somebody's yeah. living room with an icky, you know, just like completely able to take it in without anything else but just the music. And I think people have really appreciate that. And I'd love to say I had something to do with it other than just opening my doors, but it just, the bands do all the work, really. You know, I have I clear some space in the refrigerator and set up the sound, and then they take it from there.
And you can bring like a couple of beers to your show, but respectfully. It's not like a huge party. It's not like a college show. It's like hey, you know what? Bring a couple beers.
Sure.
Have a good time, but you know, clean up your shit.
Yeah, I don't mind if people get loose, but the only thing I care about is be respectful for the band, right? If you want to like bring a bottle of Jameson over and have shots before the show, great. If you want to, you know, it's all a matter of just as long as the
musicians and then drive home safely.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Uber's out there. I believe Lyft is now a thing. So, and you probably came with a sober driver anyway. But no, I mean, it's, you know, it's not, you're right. It's not a fraternity party, but on the same hand, I don't want it to be a library there either. I mean, particularly right. like at Future Birds, people were getting loose because it was Saturday night. It was an actual like rock and roll show.
It was kind of rad. That was like the full band compared to the Alec Owensworth show, where he was the solo acoustic show. And then the second show I saw was Susto and Future mm-hmm. Birds, which was like a big party. It was great. Yeah. The lighting and everything, and the sound was amazing, even with the full band too. There was like a like both bands were like a 5-piece, 6-piece band too, and it just sounded amazing in your house. Like, what do you do for equipment? We were talking about this a little bit ago.
Yeah, just I bought a sound system. I'm not technically savvy in terms of knowing brands. I went into a local place here in Reno and just kind of said, this is what I'm doing. What do I need to have a full sound? And the guy was just hooked me up with everything. And, you know, before I would kind of borrow stuff from my friends from the band Beer Can, who's a punk band.
Oh, yeah, I know,
yeah,
Beer Can.
Yeah, so those dudes were super cool about hooking me up with stuff. And then Derek was another guy who used to run Fritz Bar. Derek Moore.
Now it's the Wolf Den.
Yeah, they serve burgers instead of rock. But, those guys were, like, super, like, they would bring the stuff over to me sometimes, but they were always helpful there. But then it got to the point where I'm like, I really want to do these shows, and sometimes these guys are playing, so just go get your own stuff. And it's really, you know, I've used it however many house shows since then, you know, probably 30 or 40 shows, so it's definitely earned its keep. And to your point, the sound in my house is fantastic, but
yeah, again, I don't know what
it's
it is.
Just, you know, I have low ceilings, I think might help, and the carpet's padded. Those are probably simplistic things. And
it's one of those magical places, like CBGB, like where that place was just a shit place, you know, altogether. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, every musician that came through there said it sounded amazing. Everybody that saw a show there said it sounded amazing. It's just that, yeah, the magical place.
And I have to say, with Future Birds, one of the lead singers, the dude with the beard, is a engineer his day job, so he knows how to do the sound. So that helped.
Cool.
But all that being said, like, people have always spoken about the sound there, and I just, you know, I think it's, I'm not doing Guns N' Roses in there, so there isn't this, like, crazy mix.
Sure.
The Future Birds is as big as it's gotten, but, you know, you were saying, like, the big setups, you're right. I mean, they got 3 guitars, drums, you know, we've had pedal steel in there that sounds, like, just as pure as can be, so...
Oh, that's cool.
It's really, yeah.
Who came in with the pedal steel?
The Future Birds last year, they had a pedal steel with them, but he wasn't able to make this tour, and a band called Water Liars came through with a pedal steel.
Oh, yeah, I like Water Liars.
Yeah, so they had just a beautiful sound in there, so...
Well, even Sesto sounded like they had a pedal steel at first, but I looked over and I'm like, oh, he's just playing with, like, delay pedals or something like that.
Yeah, he had a definitely kind of, maybe they had a pedal steel guy who didn't come to, and that's how they sort of circumvented that.
That could be it. Yeah. Well, so as far as, do you have any local bands that play there, or just bands like Dawes and The Wigs and Deer Tick play there?
It's been mostly touring bands. In May, I've got a local act called My Acoustic Heart.
Okay.
He's a singer-songwriter, and I'm doing a show with him. So that'll be the first local one. Haven't really been avoiding the local stuff as much as just... there's only so many shows you can do, and a lot of times, you know, based on what's coming through, it's like, if I have the opportunity to bring this person in, that's touring, that's a good opportunity to kill two birds with one stone, right? Because I can do the great show, and it's someone that I would probably be doing those trips to San Francisco to see. So it has been primarily touring stuff, but I'd love to do the local scene as well, just, you know, based on time and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. You say you started this how long ago? Was it in 2009 with Deer Tick and stuff, or was it...
I'd done a show in 07 with Anders Parker, and that was the first one that I did.
I'm not familiar with Anders Parker.
He's in a band called Varnaline, or was, and he's done some recording with Jim James from My Morning Jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Jay Farrar. He did an album with Jay Farrar called Gob Iron.
Well, there's some big names.
So definitely, you know, in that same vein. And I was a huge fan of his, so it was kind of one of those things I was talking about with... Like, you just throw an offer out there, and if they take it, and I think I just found his booking agent and said, big fan of Anders, I see he's coming to the West Coast.
Yeah.
You want to do something in September, you know, I can give you X amount of bucks, and it worked. And I was just like, I remember sitting in my living room practically teary-eyed, because I'm like, this came together? Like, how is this happening in my life? And, you know, that was the first show. Now, I don't want to say it's like a business, but I mean, I've had so much great music come through that... I'm just spoiled now, you know, because it's like, just to be able to, like you were talking about earlier, like just the personal conversations you can have with them. And a lot of these guys I call friends, you know, to where if I'm out in their neck of the woods, come say hi. So it's cool to, you know, make those relationships. I realize they're going to a different city every day, but I have some genuinely good friends I've met through doing these shows.
Oh, yeah. I got to talk to Alec Owensworth of Clap Your Hands and Say Yeah for a good, like, 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
He even during the show just answered questions, just said, hey, do you guys have any questions? Or what do you think about this or that? Or, yeah, I'll answer questions about being on David Letterman or whatever. And, yeah, he was a super cool guy. What do you think was the, in your opinion, the best show? No, I don't want to say the best show, because that's, you know, that's not too fair, but what would be your top three shows that you've had at your house?
Honestly, the Future Bird show just a couple weeks ago, the way that came together, that would be up there. I'd say the Deer Tick show was just because it was so memorable. I mean, if you ask Deer Tick how many house shows they've done, it's probably, one or two hands counting. So the uniqueness of that, man, that is really tough. I've had Michael Schnabel play at my house from Two Cow Garage a bunch of times, and I can't necessarily pick out a particular show, but every time he comes by, it's a huge treat just because he's so loyal to the place. He always makes it a point of whenever he's touring, he comes to Reno, and I've had so many different people see him, and they're always just blown away by how his lyrics, you know what I mean? So, like,
I'm not familiar with him. I'm
sorry. Oh, yeah.
I got to check him out now.
Seek him out for sure. He does solo stuff, and he's in a band called Two Cow Garage.
Okay.
But I mean, of all the bands I've brought through, he's the guy who, like, more people have come up to me and said, you know, I've bought this CD because I saw him at your house.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so cool. I mean, I'm definitely, and you know, that I hate to leave out some other great shows, but those three definitely come to mind. Dawes is just, that was fantastic because...
I would have loved to see them. I saw them at High Sierra Music Festival a few years ago for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, they're just such a pure band, and it's crazy to me to, you know, I think the first time I booked them, I paid them $350, and I had never even heard of them. The booking agent was like, I'd done a couple shows with them, and he's like, you know, there's this band Dawes coming through, you'd really like them, and I'm like... I had already booked Deer Tick, so I'm like, oh, another show, you know, like, it was just...
That's with Undertow Records,
too. No, this was Ground Control Touring at the time, yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm like, okay, I'll take them. You know, $350 is not a huge...
You're like, I'll take it just, under my wing, why not?
Yeah. And they were fantastic, and then now I see them, you know, playing, opening for Bob Dylan and touring with Mumford & Sons and, that's, you know, crazy, playing these festivals, and I'm like... And then they played my house twice. The second time, they had gotten some success, but they were like, we want to play. They had done a show up in Tahoe, opening for M Ward. They had an open date after that, and I guess they're kind of in that, like,
breaking big.
I wish you'd have played down there too.
That would have been cool.
We'll take Dawes, but they actually were like, hey, we want to do a show. Can we play at your house? And that was like one of the first times where I was like, holy crap, like, I might be onto something here.
They reached out to you.
I mean, if they, you know, a band that's actually getting bigger is actually, you know, contacting me saying, I want to do this show, like, there's obviously, they enjoyed and felt that was a good time, and it gave me some confidence to keep doing these shows, and it's great because I don't have the same crowd at every show by any means. Like, the Alex show you were at was, like, I think there was 40 people there, and 37 of them I had never met before, including you. That was the first time I met you there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there's other times where, like, at Future Birds, when there was 60 people there, and I think I had known 50 of them for, like, years. So it's fantastic to be able to have a diverse group of people that come through, and no one's ever done anything where I'm like, shit, I don't want to have strangers at my house for shows, because I just figure if you're going to come over for something like this, like, you're probably a pretty good person for, like, wanting to do that. Mm-hmm. And you've taken the leap of faith to come to my house, which is always kind of weird, right? It's like...
Well, that makes things exciting.
Yeah.
It's like... Who's going to be here this time?
Let me roll the dice and see what's up. But, I mean, no, it's like, until somebody or somebodies do something that would make me question having just whoever wants to come over. Like, I'm happy to open up my house.
Well, I think the worst thing that happened at your house at the Future Birds show is somebody accidentally locked the bathroom door.
That's right.
And then I had to take my card and crack it open.
You done well. You done well.
It's like, oh, nobody's... All right, great. I'll help you out, man.
Well, we were sitting there.
Nobody trashed your place.
No.
Or...
And if it was going to get trashed, it would have been that night because there was, like, my recycle bin was completely full with beer bottles. And people were over for like 4 hours. I mean...
But that's a great sign that the recycle bin was full.
Yes, yeah.
And not the garbage can and...
We're green at the 7th Street Station, you know?
Hell yes.
We try and manage everything for sure.
Recycle your beer bottles.
Yes.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, I was at the show and I was thinking like, man, don't the neighbors hear this? Like, do the neighbors give a shit? Or
that's a very common question. And as you know, I live off of, it's like a side street off of 7th. So there's only a handful of houses up there. And going back to the sound conversation, is that house holds sound incredibly well. Like when the bands were doing their sound check, they weren't at full volume, but I went outside and just took probably 30 paces outside my house and I couldn't hear them. Wow. So the only concern I would have is if people were outside just chatting late night, like, you know, it was a Saturday night. So like, you know, after midnight, it's kind of like, well, maybe people are going to get sketchy, but
yeah.
I've never had a word from any of my neighbors. And I think it is a little bit of a product of, you know, people being respectful when they're there and not really causing a ruckus. I mean, like, the Guns N' Roses analogy holds true again. It's like, I don't have Slash and Axl doing Paradise City in there.
Yeah, nobody's like beer bonging.
No. I mean, Future Birds is probably as loud as it gets. And they were, you know, towards the end, it was like, this is a full rock show. But I think the other thing, too, is starting the shows at a decent hour. You know, I try and start the shows around 8 or 9 so that...
It's done by midnight. And then
not even that. Like, we're talking 11. I think Future Birds was about as late as it's gone.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, and not that I'm kicking everybody out, but once the band's done, then I'm like, the sound can be altered. You know, we can modify. It's just going to be people talking versus like, oh, the drums are too loud or, you know, turn down the amp or whatever. So,
do your neighbors come over?
No, but when we've done some backyard shows over at my friend Natalie's house, she's invited her neighbors over, and a few of them have, like, just come over because they've heard the music and like it, so that's...
Yeah, like, what's going on over there?
Yeah, okay. And she lives kind of closer to the university, so they may have, like, a more hip crowd over there.
Yeah.
it's never been a problem, and if it is, I would do what I needed to do to make sure that that person wasn't upset anymore, because I don't want to burn any bridges, because I know even when it's not loud, I'm sure there's some noise to where if you have neighbors that are kind of stiffs, they may not like it. But
like, you'd need to have like a noise ordinance permit or something like that. And do you have to do that?
I have not. I think if you're doing outdoors, that might be more of a like a
backyard show, like your friend Natalie, and so there's other people doing shows like house shows around town.
Yeah, no, I've heard of a. You know, I've been to a couple. I actually saw David Bazan at a house show in Reno here, so that was how I was introduced to his music.
And he's going to be playing at your place on March 31st.
Yes, yeah, I got that show going. He's Pedro the Lion. You know, that was his big starting point.
Love Pedro the Lion.
Yeah,
got headphones. Mm-hmm. And
he did a project with Will Johnson and Anders, actually.
Is that Ocean?
Overseas.
Overseas.
Yeah. And I know he sold out, we were talking earlier, he sold out every city on the tour doing these house shows, and the show I was at, there was like 50 people there, so, as always, I'm happy to be able to do this, and it's just like another example of a musician that probably wouldn't come to Reno, routing Reno, because we've been able to do these shows well and get the, you know, make it worth their while to come through.
Yeah, that's pretty, so, To get back to what I was saying, your friend Natalie does shows too. Who has she had over there?
So, in her place? Yeah, Natalie has been nice enough to open up her backyard to where I'm usually the one who's like, hey, I've got this band. They're kind of a bigger band, like, size wise. And we always do summer shows because obviously no one wants to stand outside in January in the backyard. But we've done...
Yeah, with all the snow we've had, especially this year.
Yeah. And I mean, even when there's no snow, it's chilly back there. But we've done several shows back there. We did the Wigs backyard. Was a backyard show.
That would have been... I would have liked to
have
seen that show.
Yeah, that was amazing. Roadside Graves we've done. Natural Child was really fun.
Wow.
Two Cow Garage, like Micah, I mentioned, him and his bandmate Shane have played back there. Johnny Corndog, he goes by Johnny Fritz now. he was a kick in the pants.
Was that a guy that was in the Misfits by any chance?
No. This is he's a friend of Dawes actually, so that's how I got hooked up with him.
All right.
But yeah, we've done a bunch of like bigger band shows there. It's always been, and we can fit more people there. Roadside Grave Show, we had almost 100 people there, which was crazy because it was like midweek. But summer shows, people are a little more receptive to like, hey, I'll just go in the backyard. You know, sometimes the house shows are, they're a little more cramped. So people are like, it's nice weather. I don't want to go there. But the backyard shows, they're all over.
Well, I was thinking about that, like, our place here. I'm like, oh, well, we could have a house show here, you know, out in the backyard. Like, this garage could be, like, the, like, staging area for the bands. And you had a comfortable area for the band to be able to do, like, not sound check, but, like, just to chill out.
Yeah.
Before the show and to kind of prep and everything and be away from everybody before they come out. So, when you cater to bands, do they give you a writer or something like that? So for people that don't know, a writer is like a list of, not demands, but like a list of like, hey, you know, if you can have like some waters for us or whatever, then, you know, that'd be great. So do you do that for the bands too? Or
they usually, when they send a contract, it's got, you know, all the paperwork and all that. And then the back part of it is their writer. Mm-hmm. And I think what happens is they have writers for venues, right? So if you go play the Fillmore, it's like, I want 12 bags of walnuts, 3 oranges,
but
4
guacamole.
Yeah, they always want guacamole too. But so when I read it,
like the Jack White thing with the guacamole came out recently.
Yes, it's a little, you know, some of them are peculiar.
Here's a recipe for the guacamole that we like.
All the ingredients must be fresh.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, one band on their rider had a gram of wheat. Which I thought was, you know, joking, but yeah,
it's not very much.
Decent sized band too, but so there's riders, but when I sign the contract, I say, you know, this is a house show. I'm happy to feed the band. They can have whatever they want to drink, but I'm not going to give you, you know, 12 bags of potato chips. And no one has ever said, no, you got to stick by the rider. So I'm hosting them, so I'm not going to be like, you know, then Arby's is down the street.
Yeah.
You know, like, but none of them are like, you know.
You got tap water.
Yeah.
You know.
Just no ice cubes. But like Future Birds and Susto, like, I went and got them porta subs and they were like stoked about it.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
I mean, you know, it seems like a big deal to them, but I'm like, it was $60 and I fed like 11 dudes. So
yeah.
I think I get off the hook a little bit with the riders.
Here's
the same
6 foot sub. There you go.
Totally. No, I mean, it's like the riders are, I get why they would want them, because when you're playing venues, it's like, might as well ask for the moon. But I think if they're playing at someone's house, they're not going to be like making a big deal about it.
They know that they're playing at your house
and
you're going to be more laid back and relaxed in a venue, because a venue, I think as a band, you could be like, I'm going to ask for all kinds of crazy
shit. Yeah. And, it's always worked out where they are not starved or, they can drink actual, you know, water out of my refrigerator if they want.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's you know, nothing but the best.
So for that show too, the Future Birds Festival show, there was somebody there that was filming it. Were they filming a documentary?
Yeah, for Susto. There was So yeah, I kind of have a feeling they might break out a little bit the way Dawes did.
Yeah, they were good. I really like those.
They're
guys.
Playing that Stagecoach Festival down the kind of the country Coachella.
That's right after Coachella.
Yeah, which I think is a little weird because they're not really country, but it's great exposure for them.
Yeah, they're kind of like folk, alt, country, indie. Yeah, I don't know.
But that might go well there, because you can't, there's only so much twang you can take. I don't care how country you are. So they have a little bit less edge, twang edge. So I hope it blows up for them. I mean, any band that comes through, you know, I don't care if you do commercials for Doritos, if it helps break you big, because you know, you're obviously paying your dues if you're you know, able to play venues like my house. I mean that as a slag. I just mean you're mm-hmm. working hard, and you know, some bands want to play as much as they can because they want to get better. And yeah. house shows is a good way to refine that. So,
well, and the house show the venues for that, it's getting big. You know, mm-hmm. it's like in the Bay Area here, you know, too, it's becoming a more viable format, the DIY shows.
Big time.
Yeah, for bands to just get out there and get exposure, sell merch, you know, coming through touring, but not necessarily be on the tour list.
Yeah.
Because I noticed that, like, a few of the shows that had come through, you know, not only here, but other places, they don't list those like on their tour schedule, and I think it's for a reason, because it's like, one, you don't have like the 2,000 you know area capacity yeah, like yeah. like you would at the Fillmore or the Independent or here in town at, you know, Grand Sierra or something like mm-hmm. that, but that's cool that they were still, like, you know, filming a documentary.
Yeah.
So do you watch like Rock Docs documentaries when in what's your favorite, like, kind of like band documentary?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Mm. There's a lot of them out there.
I saw the Pearl Jam one. I'm drawing a blank on the name, but Cameron Crowe did it.
Yeah,
and it's not really like it's more of a like a tour documentary where they're showing a lot of live footage.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of came of age musically in the '90s, so I thought the Montage of Heck, the Nirvana one.
Oh yeah,
that was pretty eye opening. I mean, just. It'd be crazy to think what Cobain would be doing right now, you know?
Right.
If he just could kind of...
Like going on a reunion tour.
Yeah, or I mean, Pearl Jam's like still out there doing yeah. their thing. And, you know, I know they're not like the most, like, sort of off-the-record band. But they're like... Mm. I think they're kind of like a Bruce Springsteen to me of, like, this generation, because they...
I can see that.
There's just nothing... Yeah. There's nothing about them where you go, oh, shit, man. Like, I can't believe they put out a... You know, like a ska album or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And they've always stood for like good things, but they've never.
I can't believe what Eddie Vedder said at the Grammys.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like, they just seem really sincere, and I think bands like that kind of turn people off to some degree, because you want a little. Some people want edge, like they want to have like band friction and stuff like that. But, like, you know, going back to Springsteen, it's like you look at. I know they had their moments in the '80s, but like. They seem like they genuinely, like, love each other, you know?
Yeah.
And I sense that with Pearl Jam, and even, like, Two Cow Garage, who I brought up a few times, but, like, mm-hmm. I watch the guys on stage, and they've been touring their ass off for, like, a dozen years, maybe more, and it's like, you see them up there, and you're like, these are brothers. They're not, you know, fraternal brothers, but they're, you know, they are, like...
Just, well, if you spend enough time with a band touring, you know, you go through a lot of crap.
Big time, yeah.
Yeah, it's and with like Bruce Springsteen too. Like they just lost their saxophone player mm-hmm. a couple of years ago.
Clarence Clemons.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. And they're going on tour again this year. And are you going to go see their show?
Yeah, I got tickets to Oakland.
It's, man, I want to go see that.
It's just one of those. You have to see Bruce once in your life. You know, it's
Boss.
And
he's
it's
the
just
boss.
3.5 hour sets. The guy, he's 68 years old, and he just goes out there, and, you know, he must not have, like, been partying with, like, Rod Stewart and Keith Richards, because he just seems to have, like, endless energy. And
kind of like Rush. They were a band that didn't go out and party with everybody, but...
That's very true.
Yeah, they could still hang, but, you know, they kind of...
Maybe
they
were behind
themselves.
The scenes, like, big... Cokeheads, and no one knew because they were just good at pulling it off. I mean, everyone says Neil Peart's the best drummer of all time. Maybe it's because he just was constantly active. You know, he didn't have to stop because he's like, I'm on the right stuff right now.
Yeah, you'll find it out later after, you know, after years and years and after everybody's dead.
Something has to explain Geddy Lee's voice, right?
Exactly. Yeah. No, and I like the fact that Bruce Springsteen, too, they just came out with that live album for free.
Yeah. Oh, I downloaded that. It just sounds
me
so...
too. In Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the huge storms in New York City mm-hmm. and they couldn't play there in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, it's that's like, I thought that, I was just the sound quality. I mean, I saw
it was great.
Some of these bands are recording all of their tour dates and then selling them like online for, you know, $8 or $10 just to keep it out of bootleggers, and it's a great idea because not everyone can either afford to go see, or they're not in an area where like Bruce Springsteen plays. But I mean, nothing replaces a live experience, but the sound is so good. You could argue, just pretend like you're at a Bruce show, and you know.
Well, I went and saw Bob Schneider.
Yeah, I do.
I saw him at the Nugget a few years ago, and it was cool because after the show, they had the live recording for sale.
Oh, perfect.
Of the show that you just went and saw. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very unique because I had to wait there for them to burn the CD to sell to me after the show. And I'm like, okay, well, I can listen to this show over and over again. And it sounded amazing, too. And even this last episode that we had with Failure Machine, you know, we had them in here playing like three songs. And it's like, if I can have, you know, any band just live recording, it's very easy to do, too. For most bands, if they just put up a couple of microphones, you know, a couple of area mics and whatnot. But well, getting back to what shows are coming up, you said that David Bazan from Pedro the Lion is going to be playing at your house. And he's been selling out every single show that he's played, like all these house shows that he's played. And Pedro the Lion's been, they bowed out of that, you know, respectively back in like 2009, I believe. But his solo stuff is great. Headphones is great. Are you excited for the show that's coming up?
Yeah. I think, I saw him at a house show a couple years ago here in Reno, and I kind of went in blind. Like, I knew Pedro the Lion.
Yeah.
But I was really impressed with, like, there was some very... like passionate followers of his music where
those lyrics are very visceral, and
people like there was just, you know, people were kind of mouthing the words and everyone knew the songs, and it kind of threw me off because, to be honest, a lot of the shows, even though they're sellouts, a lot of times people come in and have never even heard the band before. They just have had a good experience at the show, or they're running on faith that I'm not going to steer them towards like a Menudo or something. Yeah. So, I mean, it was really cool to go to a show where people were like, knew all the songs and things like that. It just showed how, you know, how good of a following has to where, like, to your point about the, you know, him selling out, you know, it's great that he's got fans everywhere, even in Reno, where he might not have played with Pedro the Lion, but people obviously know his music well.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, who would you like to have for a next show? Is there like a wish list of people that you want to have come and play at 7th Street Station?
I mean, you know, you can shoot for the stars, and you know, but I think, you know, one of the people that I've always thought about just breaking the bank for and saying, like, screw it, I'm not going to even charge anyone, this one's on me, is Jay Farrar from Sunvolt and Uncle Tupelo. And,
oh, man.
I've just, like, I named my dog after him. I was such a big fan.
Oh, that's cool.
So he's a guy, you know, he still plays 300, 400, 500-seat venues. So I actually did some looking, and I put an offer out to him. I don't know that it's enough to make it work.
But again,
it's like, throw it out there. If they take it, fantastic. If not, we'll try it again. But in my lifetime, I would love to have him there, because I think he just, like, He seems to me to be made for house shows. I mean, I know he's a bigger, like, he can sell out bigger venues and things like that, but just, like, you know, if you can make it work, that would be the dream show.
Yeah, that would be like saying, like, hey Ryan Adams.
Yeah, he's on the list too.
Yeah, yeah. I saw Ryan Adams poster in your house. So I was like, oh. That would be really cool.
I think anyone I have a poster of in there, I would definitely want to see in my living room, like Guided by Voices.
Oh man,
you know, Bruce is up there. How about the Supremes?
Oh, if we can. Well, the Supremes.
I mean, bring Diana Ross back, and I don't know. She might not be able to do You Can't Hurry Love as well as she did, but yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a, and you know, it's
Pavement. You know,
oof, yeah, it's, but to, you know,
just these Steve Malcolmus and the Jicks or something like that. I could see him coming down.
It's just who I've had has already, like, so exceeded my expectations of, you know, these bands that I would probably have, like, gotten in a car and driven to San Francisco to see are stopping in Reno and playing in my house. It's like that. It's gone beyond what I ever expected. So I already feel spoiled about that. You know what I mean? Like, sure. It's like, yeah, I'd love to have Bruce in there, but I mean, I've had great people there. So, I mean, you want to build off of that, but as long as it's someone that I can vouch for my friends, is like, hey, it's worth, you know, getting a babysitter for your kids or giving up, you know, your company event or whatever. Like, you'll be happy that you came over and saw this. And I think we've made a lot of believers.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would recommend anybody to come see a show at the 7th Street Station. And if you can't right now, go to the website, or I mean, go to the Facebook page, check out 7th Street Station. And if you can make it on March 31st, David Bazan of Page of the Lion in headphones and overseas. He's a great artist. Please go check him out if you get a chance, and check out any future shows that are coming up at 7th Street Station. Before we go, do you got anything else that you want to add, you want to talk about?
No, I'm really enjoying your podcast, and this is sort of the same equivalent. Thanks, of man. Just trying to get you know, music out there and exposing people to different things. So, you know, thanks for having me, and I look forward to future podcasts as well.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it, Tim.
You got it.
All right, take it easy. Everybody, that was a lot of fun. Thanks again to Tim for coming down and chatting with us about the 7th Street Station, his house that he has amazing shows at. And be sure to check out, David Bazan is going to be playing at his house March 31st. Go to 7th Street Station Facebook page, like it, and that way you'll stay up to date with all the shows that will be happening at his place. Again, huge thanks to everybody listening out there. And yeah, this next episode is going to be coming out in another couple weeks, so stay tuned to that and have a good one. All right, bye.